We have studied so far four verses as to what meditation is not. It says meditation is not an activity. It's not something you do. It's not even worship of a particular form of God or an idol or a symbol, whether it's a cross or a Shiva. It's none of those. It's not even worship. And it's not even chanting the name of God. All those things help, chanting or remembering the form of the God, but they are not meditation. Then what is meditation? And they say, abidance in my true nature is meditation. That's what all the verses said so far. Abide in your true nature, abidance in my true nature. So what is my true nature? That is the question. What do you mean by abide in your true nature? What do you mean by? And that is what we shall try to cover today. This verse number 5, in my opinion, is probably the most powerful verse in this text, which tells me who I really am and what is the goal of meditation, explains quite clearly in this particular verse. I would request everybody to, when you go home, read this verse number 5 again carefully and try to abide in those ideas, try to imbibe them and make them part of your. So what is my true nature? So the verse, will do the verse and then we'll translate it and then discuss it. Verse number 5, page 22. Swarupam Satchidanandam. Swarupam Satchidanandam. Vijanan Swatmano Buddha. Swatmano Buddha. Tishthat Yevam Sada Yogi. Tishthat Yevam Sada Yogi. Swarupe naiva nanyatha, naiva nanyatha. So, what is my nature? Sat, Chit, Anand. Sat means existence, Chit means consciousness, and Anand means joy or bliss. So, that is who I am. I exist, I am conscious, and I am joyful, blissful. That is my true nature. And what is that? Vijanan, knowing that, Swaatmana, of my own, that is my true nature, Buddha, the wise person, Tishthati evam, he or she, the wise person, always remains with that understanding. Vijanan means knows it clearly, just as you and I know, if I ask you, are you a man or a horse? Or are you a woman or a horse? You say, what are you asking me? I know I'm a man, I'm a woman. I don't need to think. I don't need to look in a mirror and say, okay, I'm a human being, I'm not a horse. No, I know that. No one, you know, I don't need. So similarly, just as you and I know that I'm a human being, a wise person knows that I am of the nature of consciousness, existence, awareness, and bliss. That he or she knows, just as you and I know, even when you, in the middle of the night, somebody wakes you up and says, who are you? You know that. So a wise person, even if you wake him up in the middle of the night, will know that I am that. Sada yogi, such a wise person always stays in that understanding and na anyatha, and not any other. So what do you mean by true nature or essential nature? So there are four points. My essential nature is what I cannot stay without. If that is not there, then that is not me. For example, sugar. You ask, what is the essential nature of sugar? Is it the shape? Is it? No. Sugar can be in granule, sugar can be in crystal, sugar can be in powder, sugar can be in cubes, sugar can be brown, sugar can be white. So color is not its essential nature. Shape and form is not its essential nature. What is the essential nature of sugar? Sweetness. If it's not sweet, you won't call it sugar. It could be any shape. It could be any form. It could be any color. You know, in when we make these cookies, we color sugar into different red, blue, yellow. Doesn't matter. But as long as it is sweet, So, what is the essential nature of sugar? Is sweetness. Without that, you will not call it sugar. Also, my essential nature is what I cannot give up and I cannot take up. Like fire. What is the essential nature of fire? Heat. Now, can fire say from tomorrow I give up heat? I'm not going to be hot. No. Or fire cannot say, I was not hot before, but I'm going to take up heat. No. Fire can neither give up heat nor take up heat because fire is of the nature of heat. So that which I cannot give up or take up is my essential nature. Also does not become a burden to it. Like fire, can it say, oh, I'm burning myself? Fire cannot burn itself. The heat of the fire can burn a house, can burn a tree, can burn, you know, something else, but cannot burn itself. So it does not become a burden. Like, I have this head on my shoulders, which weighs, I don't know, 7-8 pounds. Now, can I say the head has become a burden? I'm tired of carrying this head all day. Let me put it, take it off and put it down. No. For me, it's not a burden. But if I have a hat on my head, even it may weigh a few ounces, after 3-4 hours, you say, I am fed up of this hat, you know. I was at this Western party, but now I'm done. I want to take it off. Because I'm surprised, some people, this baseball cap, they keep on all day. They probably even sleep with it at night. I don't know how, you know, how it doesn't become a burden. But my head of several pounds doesn't become a burden, but a hat of a few ounces, after a while, I want to take it off. So the head is my essential nature. The hat is not, because it becomes a bother, it becomes a burden. And my essential nature is what I will revert to it, like water. Its essential nature is coolness, right? Water is cool. You boil it, it becomes hot. And then the moment you turn off the flame, after a few minutes, water goes back to its essential nature. The essential nature of water is fluid, but if you freeze it, it becomes ice. But ice is not its essential nature. The moment you leave the ice outside, immediately it becomes fluid again. So that which I naturally revert to is my essential nature. So that which I cannot remain without, cannot give up or take up, it never becomes a burden, and I naturally revert. And acquired nature is that which becomes a burden to me or which I cannot maintain all the time. That is acquired nature. As we said, the acquired nature of water, like hot water, is this acquired nature. It has taken it up because of the fire, but when you leave it alone, it will cool down. Ice is the acquired nature of water. It does not stay with it. So then what am I? Am I objects, emotions, thoughts? Am I the body, mind, and intellect? And we always ask, am I the objects? No, I know I'm not the objects. I'm not my car. I'm not my house. I'm not my clothes. Because I can take it or I can give it up. I can stay without a house, right? If I don't, tomorrow, if my house gets foreclosed, I couldn't make the payments. I can move into an apartment. I can move into a friend's apartment. So house I can give up. And house sometimes can become a burden. You know, I'm tired of taking care of this house. There's one repair after another. So objects. How about emotions and thoughts? Am I the emotions or am I the thoughts? Like they say, I'm a very angry person. I'm a very proud person. No, but the pride or anger is something you took on. You were not born with anger. You were not born with pride. You were not born with arrogance, but these thoughts you take on, and then sometimes thoughts can become a burden. You know, like I want to sleep, but my mind is running, it's racing. I cannot sleep. So the thoughts become a burden. Or emotions, you know, I have so many problems, I have so much sorrow in my life, I have so much difficulties. So thoughts and emotions can become a problem. And it's something I took on. I was not born sorrowful. I was not born miserable. But I acquired it. I took it on either because of circumstances or because of my own thinking. So I am not the objects. I am not the emotions. I am not the thoughts. That is clear, right? Because that's something I came to me and I can drop it. Okay, I'm depressed right now, but the situation changes, I become happy. So neither depression nor happiness is my true state. Okay, how about the body, mind, and intellect? I am this body, that we are convinced. So no matter what you tell me, I'm not going to believe that I am not this body. Ever since I was a protozoa, I have been thinking I am this body. And then I became a fish and an animal and a monkey and a human. Many lifetimes, I know I am this body. You can't convince me that. Well, okay, we'll try. Body is something that can be given up or taken up, right? I was, before I was born, say I was, they say, okay, you were living with God or you were a spirit or you were a soul. So you took up this body. And then at the time of death, you will give it up. Also, every night when we go to sleep, we lose our body identification. When you're in deep sleep, you don't know whether you're a man or a woman. You don't know whether you're rich or poor. You don't know whether you're an Indian or an American. You don't know whether you're sleeping on a bed or sleeping on a street or sleeping in a campground. You have no idea. So the body identification, you give up every night in sleep. Also, body can become a burden, right? My body is hurting. It's so much painful. I'm getting old. I'm suffering. So body can become a burden. So anything that can become a burden or that I can give up or taken up is not me. Am I the mind or intellect? We already talked about it. You know, the thoughts and the emotions, I am not. The mind and intellect is a changing state. One day my mind is happy, one day it's unhappy. Intellect, one day it is successful, one day it is unsuccessful. One day I am brilliant, very sharp, and then second day, I can't understand the simple problem. So anything that is changing and that I am aware of, that I can take up, that I can give up, and is not me. And also the mind and intellect can become a burden, right? People get so stressed. I can't sleep, I have to go to a psychiatrist, I have to take pills. So, anything that becomes a burden, I am not. Okay, am I the waker? The three states. Am I the waker, or the dreamer, or the deep sleeper? You see, I'm the waker, of course. You know, I'm awake, that is me. But when you're dreaming, and in your dream, you are in Africa, and there is a tiger chasing you, and you are running, and then you climb up the tree, and then you are scared because the tiger is growling and is going to eat you any minute. At that time, are you the waker sleeping in Bakersfield? No, you are totally convinced that I am the dreamer in Africa on that tree in the jungle. And in the deep sleep, there you are neither the dreamer nor the waker, you are the deep sleeper. Not only that, but the dreams or the waking can become a burden, like I can't sleep. You know, some people have this problem. They can't sleep. And they have so much stress. Oh, they're up for 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours. They take sleeping pills. They go. So if this waking state becomes a burden to me where I wish I could go to sleep, then obviously I'm not the waker. Also, the dream state can become a burden. You know, people say, I get such terrible dreams. You know, last night I overate. And I had indigestion and I got the worst dreams, you know. So I wish I had not overeaten. So anything that becomes a burden, I am not. So I am not the waker, I am not the dreamer, I am not the deep sleeper. So what am I? So these are the three things I am. I am Sat means existence, Chit means consciousness, and Anand means bliss. How do I say that? Because I am, I exist. You cannot deny your existence. You can deny anything else. You can deny that there is heaven or hell. You can even deny that there is God. You know, some people say, I don't believe in God. But if you ask them, do you exist? I am. Nobody can deny. I am. That is, everybody says, oh, of course I am. So I am existence that nobody can deny. In fact, I am permanent existence. Because my essential nature of the consciousness or Atman, the self, is it permanently exists, and I always exist. Yeah, this body may perish, this mind and intellect may change, and my body will be changing, you know, in childhood, in youth, in old age, middle age. The body keeps on changing, but I remain the same. I was there in childhood. I was there when I was running around playing with my friends. I was there in youth, doing all my foolishness. And I am in the middle age. And I, even in old age, even no matter how old I am, I will always exist. So I, as existence, is permanent. In fact, that's why people want to live forever. If you ask somebody, no matter how sick they are, they say, oh, I want to live forever. In fact, I remember I had a patient a few years back, and he had cancer all over. He had cancer spread. And the doctors told him, you know, not much we can do for you. I mean, we can give you some chemotherapy, but all it will buy you is a few months. You know, you're not going to live forever. So, no, I don't believe that. So he went to Scripps Clinic. And there they told him the same thing. Then he went to Houston, to that MD Anderson Cancer Hospital for the third opinion. Then he went to Mayo Clinic for a fourth. And finally he came back to me. And I told him, I said, why are you running from clinic to clinic, spending your time and money? You need to accept the fact that, you know, you have. And I told him, so the point is that, but he wanted to live forever, no matter how many doctors told him. Or even if I cannot live forever, what people say, okay, my name should live forever. That's why in a lot of cultures, people say, I must have a son. Because what daughter will change her name? You know, her last name, she'll become from Smith, she'll become Jones. But my son will keep his name. And that's why they name, I'm John Smith, and then John Smith Jr., and John Smith the second, and John Smith the third. Why? I want to keep my name forever. Or what people will do, will donate some money to a hospital or to a university and say, okay, this building should have my name. I'm giving you $1 million. So that even after I die, even 50 years from now, my name will exist. So the fact that I want to exist forever, I do not want to die, shows that I am existence. And I am also conscious. Consciousness does not mean brain, does not mean knowledge, but means awareness. That I exist, and this whole world exists, that consciousness I am. Just as electricity illumines the bulb, and the bulb emits light. Electricity is neither the bulb nor the light, right? But in the presence of electricity, the bulb emits the light. So consciousness is not the brain, it's not the eyes, it's not the aware, but it is the presence of life in which my brain functions, and then my eyes can see and my ears can hear. So it is that because of which I become aware of everything. That is because of which my brain functions, my body functions, my eyes function, my ears function. I can see, hear, smell, taste, touch. I can walk, talk. So, and that consciousness is there in all states. It's there in the waking state. I am conscious of the waking state. I'm conscious of the dream state too. But they say in the deep sleep state, I am not conscious. That is true. But after you wake up, if you ask somebody, how was your sleep? Ah, I had a wonderful sleep. I slept for 6 hours, 7 hours. I am completely fresh. Or if in the deep sleep, if you wake him up and say, who are you? He will instantly tell his name. So that consciousness which is there in all states, that I am. So I am consciousness and I am existence and I am bliss. So what do you mean I am bliss? You know, you don't know how many problems I have. If you had my problems, you wouldn't even be alive. I have this problem, that problem, husband problem, wife problem, children problem, job problem, money problem, how. The weather problems, you know, it's so cold, all kind of problems I have. What do you mean I'm bliss? But the fact is that anything that becomes a burden, I am not. Remember I have said that before. So now sorrow or joy, which one becomes a burden? You say, I'm tired of this happiness. I'm tired of this joy. I wish some sorrow would come. Does anybody say that? No, nobody says, but I'm sorrow. I have so many problems. I wish this sorrow would end. So sorrow can become a burden, but joy or bliss never becomes a burden. It's never something I, you know, so that which becomes a burden, I am not. So So sorrow is not my essential nature. Bliss is my essential nature. I always want to be happy. If you ask somebody, you want to be happy for 1 month or 1 year? No. I want to be happy for the rest of my life. It's not that, okay, I give you happiness for 1 month. After that, you will be sorrowful. No, I don't want that. I want happiness till the day I die. So bliss is something we want. We do not want to live without it and never becomes a burden. So that bliss I am. In fact, we acquire or renounce things also for bliss. We take up something so that it gives me joy, and I give up something that it gives me joy. Like Donald Trump once said, you know, both my marriages were sorrowful. He said, why? He said, one left me and the other one doesn't leave me. So, you know, the one I marry, I love you, and I say, without you I can never live. I am miserable without you. For you I'll bring the sun and the moon, and I'll do anything for you, and I marry, I'm so happy. After 5 years, I can't wait to get rid of her. You know, I go to the lawyer and say, you know, get me rid of this. And not only that, but the one I want to get rid of, somebody else is waiting. Okay, when does she divorce so I can marry her? So one person is giving her up for joy. Another one is taking her up for joy. So all giving up, anything that you give up, you do it, this has become a burden. I want to give it up. And anything that you take up, you do that because it's going to. Do I take up something that will give me sorrow? No. I'll only take up something that will give me joy. Do I keep something that gives me sorrow? No. If something is becoming enough of a problem, you say, get rid of this guy. You know, I don't want to live with him anymore. I've had it. So we acquire or renounce for joy. That's why all our movies, they all have a happy ending, right? If the movie didn't have a happy ending, you don't like that movie. You know, if the husband, heroine died, and then the villain was living happily, that's no good movie. The good movie is where the villain goes to jail and the heroine lived happily ever after. Nobody says afterwards what problems they had and kids and financial. No, these children's fairy tales. Oh, they lived happily ever after. In fact, one man asked another, how was the movie? So they said, movie had a happy ending. He said, really? Yeah, we were happy it ended. So everything we do for joy, you know, we joy never becomes a burden. So to summarize, what is my essential nature? My essential nature is existence. I want to live forever. I am all the time conscious, I am aware, and I am of the nature of bliss. Now, these three should become part of your thinking, become part of your awareness. Just as I am aware that I am a man or a woman, you should say, I am of the nature of existence, consciousness, bliss. I am that spirit, I am that consciousness, I am that is my essential nature, that is my true nature, that is who I am. This body is not me, this mind is not me, this intellect is not me, these objects are not me. No matter how much I love my car or my house or my jewelry, they are not me. So make that part of your understanding, make that part of your awareness, that constantly remind. It's not a mechanical, you don't keep on saying, I am that, I am that. But understand that I am that. I am that existence, permanent. I am permanent consciousness. I am permanent bliss. Once that happens, then once you are convinced I exist forever, then so what? If tomorrow, if my body dies, if I have to drop my body, it gets old, I can watch it. Okay, my body is getting old. It's getting sick. Okay, I go to the doctor, take medicine if I have pain. But I do not identify with the body. I say, okay, body is sick. Body is in pain. All right, let it be. But I am not the body. I am of the nature of consciousness, bliss, existence. I am permanent. I am not suffering. The body is suffering. I am not suffering. So the body, you take the medicine. And tomorrow, if I have to even drop the body, it's okay. So what? I do not die. I am permanent. So such a person goes beyond death, because even death cannot over. Because for us, the biggest fear is death, right? That I will die. But if I am of the nature of permanent existence, how can I die? I'll never die. So drop the body. So what? I'll take a new body. And even if I don't, if I'm done with it, okay, I'll live happily ever with God. So that understanding that I am permanent, I am consciousness, and I am bliss, I am of the nature of joy. You know, mind and intellect may have ups and downs. Yeah, tomorrow somebody doesn't smile at me, somebody doesn't talk to me nicely. But I am of the nature of bliss. Why should I be unhappy? If somebody doesn't want to talk to me, that's their problem. You know, especially in marriages, they use this weapon, you know, giving silent treatment. This is a very powerful weapon. The husband will tomorrow not talk. Or wife, I am not going. I am of the nature of bliss. You talk to me, I'm fine. You don't talk to me, I'm still fine. That, see, people get very intimidated when somebody doesn't talk. You know, and I also used to be like that. Now I'm saying, you don't want to talk to me, it's okay. If you don't talk to me or talk to me, do I get any less or more? No. So whether it's husband, whether it's wife, whether it's child, whether it's boss, whether it's co-worker, you want to talk to me, great. You don't want to talk to me, I'm still fine. Why? Because I'm of the nature of bliss. I am fine. No matter what happens in my life, I am fine. That understanding one should develop. And I consciously try to develop that, you know, because obviously all of us have stresses, you know, in my job, I have problems as a physician, as a family, you know, and although you have ups and downs, but if you understand, not that I have reached that state yet, but if you constantly remind yourself, I am bliss, I am joy, I am happiness. Nobody else can make me unhappy then. Nobody else. They say our Gurudev Swami Chinmayananda, the master, the founder of the mission, he used to say, do not put the key of your happiness in somebody else's pocket, so that the person can turn it and make you happy and then can turn it and make you unhappy. Do not do that. Keep the key of your happiness in your own pocket so that nobody else can make me unhappy. And that can only happen when you are convinced that I am bliss, I am joy, I am existent. Then death cannot bother you, sorrow cannot bother you, even pain cannot. Because if pain is okay, the body is hurting, but I am not the body. I go and take pain medicine, but I distance myself. The moment you do that, the pain becomes less. The sorrow becomes less. You have a big sorrow, okay, some big tragedy happened. You know, it happens. There's a death in the family. I'm not saying that you should not be sorrowful or not, but you, for a short while, yeah, okay, I miss that person. But then you come to that term that I am permanent, I am existence, I am bliss. Person came, had to go. Nobody lives forever. I am not going to live forever. She's not. You know, Kennedy did not live forever. George Washington didn't live forever. Ever Martin Luther King. Nobody lives forever. So how am I going to live forever? Time comes, it's time to go. So with that understanding, then you can handle life's problems much better. So in meditation, we tell ourselves that I am of the nature of existence, consciousness, bliss. I am not this body, mind, and intellect. I am not the objects, emotions, and thoughts. They are all my possessions. They are all my property. Body is something I own, but I am not the body. So in meditation and throughout the day, one should stay with that understanding that I am that. And this Swamiji has explained, if you don't have this book, please buy it. It's only $2. But in the verse number 5, he has very, very beautifully explained it. So when you go home, please read that verse number 5 again and read it again and again till it becomes part of your understanding. So you can do that at home. Please read that. Any questions? It's such a nice verse. I could, you know, spend more time talking about it, but I think we did try to cover as best as I could. If anybody has any questions or comments.
The word bliss, it always kind of escapes me. I just wonder, what is that? What does that feel?
Okay, that's a very good question. There is a difference between pleasure and bliss. Pleasure is something I get because of an object. Like an alcoholic, when he has his drink, early in the morning, I'm so happy. Or a smoker who smokes, or somebody who, you know, wants to have a pizza, And when I take that slice and put it in my mouth, that bliss, that pleasure I get, or from a person, you know, I wanted to marry this person, or I wanted to meet her, and I meet her, and then I get close to her. So something that is caused because of an object, it could be a person, it could be an object, or it could be a situation, like I wanted this job, and I got this job. So that is pleasure. Pleasure is something that is caused by an object, or a person, or a situation. But bliss is what I have irrespective of whether that person is in my life, whether I have that, today I have the job, tomorrow I lost that job, I am still fine. Whether I have that pizza or I don't have that pizza, whether I have that drink or I don't have. So the ability to stay happy without any object, without depending on anything else is called bliss. That is which is within me, that bliss that is within me. Does not depend on situations, does not depend on people, does not depend on objects. I have it with me. That is the difference between bliss and pleasure. But that, thank you, that's a very good question.
Serenity?
Serenity, yeah, serenity is a result of that. Once you have those three, then you become serene, then you become calm, then you remain balanced in all situations, in joy and sorrow, success and failure, heat and cold, health and ill health. The person, that's why throughout the Gita, if you, the Sunday class we do, the Bhagavad Gita, again and again, the teacher tells us, one who can remain serene through all life's ups and downs is a true devotee of mine, is a true spiritual seeker. So serenity is a result of this understanding. Yes.
I think it's not the same thing as bliss.
No, serenity is a state of calmness, of equanimity, serene. Serene means he's calm, he's fine, regardless of, and that comes from the right understanding. Serenity can only happen when you have understood that. Otherwise, the moment I say I'm fine right now, but the moment you go out and somebody cuts you off and then gives you a finger, immediately your serenity will be disturbed, right? You were so calm in your meditation and honks at you because you didn't, you know, move fast enough. Immediately you get angry. So serenity can be disturbed, but if you understand I am of the nature of bliss, existence and consciousness, then nobody can disturb that. That is called serenity. Serenity is the result of this understanding. But the knowledge has to be primary. But thank you, that's very good points.
Even though you want bliss, you try to achieve that or get that.
Be a witness. Suppose an unfortunate situation happens. You know, somebody said something or something. So watch it. Okay, at this moment my mind is unhappy. At this moment my mind is disturbed. I acknowledge that. But watch it. Okay, my mind is unhappy. I am not. My mind at this moment is disturbed. But I am not disturbed because I am separate from the mind. Now the mind is upset. And whatever the situation may be, somebody said something or something. Tragic thing happened, or my mother got sick, or child got sick. Something unfortunate has happened because of which at this moment my mind is disturbed, which is okay. It is justified. And so I take care of the situation. My child is sick. So my mind is, so I take him to the doctor, give him the medicine. In 2 days, he'll be okay. So being a witness of the mind, not getting drowned in the mind, but stand back and watch. Okay, my mind at this moment is happy. Now my mind is unhappy, now it is disturbed, now it is peaceful. So the moment you become a witness, develop this witness attitude and start watching your mind constantly. Throughout the day you become witness of the mind. What is my mind doing at this moment? Is my, like now your mind is calm, right? Because we are discussing good topics. But then something bad happened and your mind gets disturbed. Okay, right now my mind is disturbed. Right now my mind is calm. So being a witness of the mind, and then what happens is the mind does not take over you. The example they give is of the river. I've given that before also. Suppose there's the Kern River, is very forceful, and I get into the water. What's going to happen? It's going to take me along, right? And I'm going to be one of those statistics. This year, 82 people died, so it'll become 83. So if I get in the Kern River will pull me away. But if I can stand on the banks, or I go on 178 and I stand on the banks and watch the flow, I can enjoy the flow of the Kern River without getting caught in it. So similarly, the mind is the flow of thoughts. It's like a river of thoughts. If I get caught in the mind will take me and destroy me. But if I can be a witness and stand and watch the flow of the mind, then I can enjoy. Okay, the mind is up, mind is down. But I am separate. So constantly, every day, throughout the day, try to be a witness of the mind. Watch what is my mind doing. Do not get caught up in that. The moment you practice that, that's something you have to practice. It's not happens overnight. But the more you, that's why in meditation we say witness the mind. You know, don't we say that? In meditation, watch the mind. The thoughts are coming, the breath is coming, you know, but I am not the breath, I am not the thoughts, I am not the body, I am the God. Don't we always say that? So be a witness of the mind. So that which you do in your meditation, do that throughout the day. So being a witness and watching it without getting, what is a witness? It's like suppose I'm standing on the balcony and I'm watching the Thanksgiving parade, right? Macy's parade or the Rose Bowl parade. My balcony happens to overlook. I'm not involved in the parade, but I can enjoy the parade. But if I am in the parade or if my kid is in the parade, then I become involved. You know, I'm marching in the parade. It's so hot. It's so, you know, cold. Oh, I'm tripping. I'm falling. I'm tired. Then you become, when you're involved in the parade, you get affected. But I'm sitting on the balcony. I'm enjoying the parade. Let the people go. So let your mind be like that parade. Just watch the parade of thoughts. Just as the Thanksgiving parade or the Rose Bowl parade is going on, I am watching. So let the parade of my mind. In fact, the book we have, Meditation and Life, in the office by Swami Chinmayananda, talks about that. He says, watch the parade of thoughts and be a witness. And then you will not be affected by that. So that is the way to get over joys and sorrows. I hope I answered your question. But thank you. That's a good comment.